Well, take your Bible, please. Open it to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27. Thank you, kids. That's wonderful. This morning, we're going to look one more time at this matter of Pontius Pilate and the crowds who chose Barabbas over Jesus. I had not intended to do this. As I began to review again this morning what I had prepared for today, the Lord just said, no, go back and do this. And I have never spoken on this subject in this manner before. And so if there's very little polish and maybe coherency, that's why. Begin reading in Matthew 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would choose. And they had then a notable, notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ, Messiah? For he knew for envy they had delivered him. He knew why Jesus was there. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded, they rabble-roused the multitude, that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye, notice the word will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? They never answered. They cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that would rather a tumult was made, beginning to riot, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this just person, see you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children, and it is and was. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Jesus has been arrested in Gethsemane. He's been taken and tried, been falsely accused and illegally sentenced to death, sent to the Roman governor Pilate, who could find nothing wrong with Jesus that would warrant his execution. And after several attempts to find a way to release Jesus while being also politically expedient for him, he could not find one except to release Jesus as per a custom that they had at the time, which was the release of a prisoner on the Passover. The Roman government would release one to the people as they chose. And he asked them to choose between this vile man, Barabbas, very notable. Everybody knew who he was. They knew what he was like. And Jesus. And of course, they chose Barabbas. And it's important to note that Pilate did this because he viewed Jesus as a mere man, not the Son of God. Had Pilate known in his heart who Jesus was, he would have acted completely differently. Pilate thought that the people, when comparing Jesus, whom they knew was without sin, when comparing him with the vile, filthy criminal, Barabbas, that surely they would choose Jesus over Barabbas, but they didn't. Why? Well, when presented with the person of Jesus, the question comes, why do people reject him and choose instead to follow their own way? And humanly speaking, there is no logical answer. None. It makes no sense for anyone to reject Jesus and embrace a Barabbas, a life without Jesus. The difference is so apparent. They looked at Jesus, who had committed no sin, who was perfect, without sin in thought, word, or deed, who had done miracles in their sight. He had healed the sick, raised the dead. He had even just in a few hours before put the ear back onto the high priest's servant. They had watched all of this. They heard him teach. They heard him preach. And when compared with the evil, vile sinner Barabbas, there was no human comparison. I'd rather have Jesus on the streets than Barabbas. And folks, I submit to you, we need more Jesus on our streets than the Barabbases of this world. I was sitting in a cafe yesterday morning and talking to a stranger, and we were discussing our country, being this the 4th of July time. And this old gentleman began to talk about all of the people who come and are flooding our country who are not here for asylum. They are criminals in their own country, and they're murdering our people and raping our daughters and killing our children. We are running rampant. Our nation is running rampant with not only sin coming in, but sin within. Our nation does not have a skin problem. We have a sin problem. And the sin in the hearts of men is causing our nation to implode. Have you noticed? It's saddening and frightening. And instead of choosing Jesus, they chose Barabbas. It makes no sense to release a hardened criminal back into the community, the citizenry, instead of a man who never wronged anyone, is absolute insanity. And yet that's what they did. The people chose Barabbas. Even after repeated attempts by Pilate to persuade them to release Jesus. And humanly speaking, it is dumbfounding. It makes no sense at all. However, when we look at the spiritual side of it, when we look at it from God's viewpoint, we begin to understand it. And if you have your pen this morning, I have two things to share under the heading, Why People Reject Jesus. Why do people reject Jesus? It is a sad thing that in England, once a great nation, in England, which had a phenomenal Baptist witness culminating in the life and ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. Great revivals under Moody and Sankey in England at the end of the last century. Well, century before now. The 1900s. England was once a very Christianized country. Most of the people went to church. Now only 2% of the population is a regular attender. Only 2%. They are turning the empty churches into residences and tearing them down, and many of them are turned into, are you listening, Muslim mosques. And America is on the same path. Our country is deteriorating. It is disintegrating. And it is imploding from within. Why? Because of the rejection of Jesus. Just like England, which turned its back on the Word of God and turned its back as a culture on the Lord Jesus. And has disintegrated. Our country has begun to do the same thing. Why do people reject Jesus? Number one, found here in this passage. And also in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Because of our fallen nature. Because of our fallen nature, Romans 5, 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12 teaches us that when Adam sinned, sin was put to the account of the human race. And we sin because we're sinners, not in order to become them. We sin because we are sinners. We don't sin and become a sinner. You just sin because that's what you are. Our fallen nature makes it impossible, apart from God's grace, to understand anything about God. In his letter to the Roman Christians, the Apostle Paul in chapter 1 explains that God has revealed two things to all people. Number one, that he's God. He's the creator. And number two, he's all powerful. And Paul says every one of us has rejected those two things. And it's only when God, and through His Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, draws us to Himself and causes us to see ourselves as God sees us, it is only then that we can realize our condition before Him. My friend Angel Martinez, who is a great evangelist now with the Lord, used to say you have to get a man lost before you can get him saved. He has to understand his condition before God. So these people here, like all of us, turned away from Jesus because of their fallen nature, which prevented them from seeing and understanding who Jesus really is. There's a second reason found in Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, have as your manner of life, not as other Gentiles walk." How do they do it? "In the vanity of their mind," their minds are empty. "Secondly, their understanding is darkness, darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness or hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness," that's immorality, "to work at all uncleanness with greediness." The second reason a man rejects Jesus, these people rejected Jesus, not only because it's in their nature to do it, but because of the hardening, number two, of their hearts. When a man rejects God and refuses to acknowledge Him as the all-powerful Creator, his heart starts to harden. And it hardens against the Lord. Have you ever developed a callus on your hands? We live in a day when men don't have calluses. But we have calluses. If you work, you have calluses. What's a callus? Boys and girls, that's a spot on your skin that gets rubbed on, and it becomes hardened towards that thing that is rubbing on it. And when the Holy Spirit is on your heart and you don't respond, what happens? You develop a spiritual callus. Does that make sense? A callus. And it just gets harder and harder for you to feel that thing that the callus is rejecting, pushing against. When a man rejects God and refuses to acknowledge Him as the Creator, his heart becomes hardened towards the Lord and His Word. And over time, it becomes so hardened and so resistant that it can get to the point of beyond feeling. I have cut calluses off with a knife. You can't feel a thing. Y'all ever done that? You can't feel a thing. The skin is dead. There's nothing there but a hump. And you can take a knife, a razor blade, and you can cut it off until you finally get back to that nerve. A man's heart can get like that, hardened against God, dead to Him. And he can get to that point, or get so deadened to God and His Word and His Spirit, that he gets to the point where he crosses the point of no return. These religious leaders here in Matthew 27 were like that. Yes, they were religious. Yes, they knew the Word of God. Yes, they had studied it. Yes, they had memorized it. Yes, they were faithful to God on the outside, but they did not know God in their hearts. Jesus called their hearts, which He could see, whitewashed sepulchres. That means whitewashed graves. In those days, the graves were not like our graveyards today. Today, we embalm the body and we prevent it from deteriorating rapidly, and we place it in a hermetically sealed case and place it in the ground. In Jesus' day, the graves were a place of disease and sickness. You just go in there and you could catch something because of the putrefaction and the infections just floating in the air. And in order to make the grave areas look a little better to the eye, they would whitewash them. Whitewash those. And the graves weren't in the ground, they were in a cave. They would whitewash everything, make it look like it was okay. But when you went inside, oh man, it was just terrible. And Jesus compares these men's hearts to that. They did not know God in their hearts, and they had rejected God himself when he appeared to them in the flesh. Like I said, that's just insane. And that is the danger of saying no to the wooing and drawing of the Spirit of God to your heart. That after drawing you and drawing you and drawing you and pulling you towards him, and you're resisting him and resisting him and resisting him, and if you do that one time too many, and the Holy Spirit, who is God, who knows that you might have accepted Christ before that point, and therefore was willing to draw you again and again and again, but now he knows that you've crossed the point, you're beyond feeling, you are beyond the point of no return. J. Harold Smith called that one of God's deadlines. So he stops drawing you. Before you realize it, you have committed the unpardonable sin. These people knew Jesus. They knew who he was. They had seen him perform miracles. They'd watched him feed the 4,000, watched him feed the 5,000, turn the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. They'd watched him raise the dead. They'd watched him heal people. They had heard him teach the word of God like no other. They had seen him then suffer for no reason, legitimately. And yet, because of their rejection of who he was and what he was in their hearts became hardened and hardened and hardened against him. And instead of choosing Jesus, when Pilate says, "Which would you rather have, Barabbas, this notable, everyone knows how bad he is prisoner, or Jesus?" Because of the hardening of their hearts against Jesus, they chose a man of sin instead of the Son of Man. Let's bow. Let me ask you about the condition of your heart this morning. Is it hardened towards Jesus? Maybe you're lost and have just become insensitive to him. If that bothers you, lost friend, you're not past the point of no return. And God is giving you one additional chance to say yes. Maybe you're saved this morning, but you're becoming calloused to God. You know, you can become callous to God and the things of God. Did you know that? Even after having been saved. You can lose what what Jesus writes to the Ephesian church in Revelation. You can lose your first love. It just becomes normal, you know, every day. It's possible to lose that honeymoon love with Jesus. And we can become hardened and calloused also. So in this moment of invitation that we're going to have in just a second, I want to invite you, lost friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to come. We'll pray, begin to sing, and you come. I'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, respond now before it's too late. Maybe you're a saved person here this morning. The Lord's speaking to you to unite with our church or to come for prayer for you or someone else. Or perhaps your heart is becoming calloused and you've realized it recently and God's been speaking to you. Whatever God would have you do, won't you do it in this moment? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. And the fact that you are not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to faith in Christ. If there be one here this morning that you've been speaking to their heart this week and this very moment to come to receive Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they will do it rather than add another layer to the callousness of their heart. For that saved person here this morning that may be finding their heart becoming hardened a little bit towards you and your word and the things of Christ, may you soften that heart and draw us back to you. In this moment of invitation, have your way in our lives, whatever it may be, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.